now for our special feature called The Most, where we share the most popular stories from the web. And our editor, Tricia McKinney, is going to start us off.
Hey, can we have a little most music?
We need most music. There we go.
Yeah.
Because then it was just the almost the most.
It was the almost.
Close, but no cigar.
Exactly.
Okay, go, Tricia.
Okay, so I will start us with one of the most emailed stories on USA Today. And, you know, the holiday season, I think everybody likes to click on these feel-good stories. So this one, Dateline, Kansas City, Missouri, a grocery store employee got a nice check for $15,000 after making the extra effort to help a customer. That's the lead. Now, it wasn't just in one sale or anything. This is a woman who's been really, apparently very nice to an elderly man named Carl Hanzelius. She would help him shop as he got older and less independent. She visited him in the hospital to cheer him up. And so he died recently, and he left her some money. And apparently he didn't have any family around, so she, you know, wanted to know someone was thinking about him. So that's a nice woman. And apparently the money came in really handy because she was in a hit-and-run car accident earlier this year, and she actually needed some money.
Did she get the money in actual currency or on credit card? In other words, paper or plastic?
You know, I don't think that that comment was in the right spirit, Mike Pesca. I think this is a nice, happy story.
It's nice. It's happy.
Michael,
I just want the exact. All right, I have a nice, happy story. It's about escaping a prisoner of war camp. This is one of the most emailed stories from the Wall Street Journal. And the Wall Street Journal is actually writing about an article in the magazine Mental Floss, which I used to subscribe to. It turns out that during World War II, the British Secret Service asked the makers of the game Monopoly to provide some extras in the sets because Monopoly games were given out by the Red Cross to prisoners of war. So what they would sneak into these sets of Monopoly were things like, oh, not just a racehorse and a thimble. They'd give you a metal file, a compass, silk maps of safe houses, and also under the Monopoly money, they'd give you real currency, real French,
really?
German, and Italian currency, and it actually helped people escape. And even if it didn't help them escape, you know, they made a lot of money by building hotels on Park Place. So that's good.
Okay,
let's
Lauren.
Say, go to Lauren.
What do you have?
I've got a couple for you. I've got one of the most emailed stories in the LA Times is about Walt Disney's hideaway. It's a tiny apartment above the fire station at Disneyland in California. And apparently it has crushed red carpet and two floral couches that fold out into beds and a Victrola, and it's sort of always been a secret, but Disney just decided that starting in January, they'll let very, very special guests go into the apartment.
For a small fee.
Now, this is
where Walt Disney himself used to hang out?
It's where he used to hang out. He worked such late hours that he sort of needed a private place to retire. And a good piece of trivia is that legend has it, if you look really closely at the first broadcast of the opening of Disney World, you'll see these teeny faces in the window of what we now know as the apartment. And nobody knows if it's his grandchildren or if it's the Mouseketeers, but some people think that his grandchildren needed to be kept safe. No, they're saying that.
I suspect it might have been a mini Goofy love nest. I don't know.
I think that's probably a good bet.
That might be interspecies, although no one knows what Goofy is.
I've got another one for you. This is one of the most popular stories on Dig, and it's a Valley Wag story, that blog, that says that the I'm Feeling Lucky button on Google costs the company $110 million
a year. I heard about this.
Yeah, because...
And it's kind of like, what is it? No one really knows.
What's the point?
Right, I don't use it. I've never used it.
I hate it, yeah.
You hate it. You actually have...
What's the point?
Because I like having a lot of options.
Right.
It takes you right to the point of keeping the button around.
Well, what does the button do when you press it?
It takes you to the top search results. So you bypass all the advertising that Google could otherwise show you. And it's only 1% of their total Google hits go through this button, but in that 1%, they lose $110 million.
Oh, because they don't get the advertising.
Right.
Just to speak to your inner gambler. Okay, Sharon Hoffman.
Good morning, guys.
What do you got?
Well, last night, you know, we were joking around the dinner table that my brother-in-law, was working hard to expand his stomach to fit the stuffing, the turkey dark meat only, and so he might be interested in the, not surprisingly, most emailed story on NPR.org today, which is a story from Patty Naiman, all about how you can retune your body with a partial fast. Now, fasting has been around, it's been recommended for thousands of years, actually. The Greek philosophers recommended it for health reasons, Jesus and Moses for spiritual renewal. Mm-hmm. And in fact, fasting helps the digestive system. It gets rid of free radicals. But what Patty points out in her story is that even partial fasting, even just cutting back, can have really, positive benefits for the body, and we're going to play a clip from that story right now.
It can improve glucose regulation and protect against diabetes. It can have beneficial effects on the heart and lowering blood pressure. And in our lab, at least in the animal studies, has very beneficial effects on the brain, protecting in our animal models that are relevant to Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and stroke.
See, my problem with this is then you can't eat. And
yeah, the other side of fasting is you don't get to eat.
I don't understand.
Right, but it lengthens your life, and that's the age-old debate. Is it better to have a longer life that kind of
a longer hungry
isn't as
life?
Fun?
Here's my fasting philosophy. A lot of people, they say the way to diet is small meals throughout the day. What I do is have a series of mini fasts punctuated by about 8 or 9 really big meals.
I'm
fasting.
You're a philosopher king, Mike.
I like it. Thanks for being with us. That's the most.